Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Oh, we're back, and guess what, folks? I'm not alone this week. Mr. Dawkin, how you doing this fine, rainy eve to the Memorial Day weekend?
Well, I tell you what, it's a little bit, we'll see if it's like riding a bike here. I haven't held this microphone in an awful long time. I think the last show we did was probably March. So it's be a little bit of a learning curve here, but we'll stumble along.
Yeah, like I told everybody last week, we kind of fell off the bicycle and forgot where the training wheels were mounted or something, because we just, things happened. And, you know, nobody ever misses us in April in that transition time anyway, so, you know, not too horribly heartbroken about that, but we're back.
Well, it's just been a really busy time. I mean, there's just been a lot of stuff going on. Nothing immediately comes to mind, but, the past couple of months have just been a blur. And, we are getting back into fishing season right now. So, I mean, if there was a time for a hiatus, that was it. And it's good to be back in the reins here again.
Well, the thing we probably could have done a little better was have a show before the Minnesota opener for everybody. But, hey, life happens.
Yep, the world ain't perfect. We're here now.
So, last week, I was telling everybody about all these trips we had gone on, whether together or separately, but I said I'd wait for you to come back. Well, let's start right at the beginning. When we last left you, we were in Devil's Lake at the Lake State Fishing Get-Together, which turned out to be a bust on the fishing aspect, but the party was fun. And right after that, we told you we were heading up to northern Manitoba to the famed Reed Lake for lake trout. And that's pretty much adventure number one for us that we've got to share, and we've both been kind of sitting on for the last month to tell the story.
Well, that's true, and you talk about an adventure. That trip qualifies in every sense of the word. From the time we left Canuck's house early that, whatever morning that was, I guess it was a Thursday morning probably, until the time we got home. I mean, it started with rain that turned into slush, to snow, and some very icy roads. And I remember at one point the vehicle going somewhat sideways with the snowmobile trailer behind it down the road. Canuck kept it on the road, kept us in between the shoulders, and somehow we steered out of it and limped along. And fortunately, as we got farther north, the weather got better, the roads gradually got better, and then we got to the lake and hit slush.
I faintly recall some chumming happening along the way as well.
Well, I was going to mention that, but since it was you and you brought it up, that's true. And your propensity for getting carsick definitely surfaced there again that day.
It had been years since that happened. And what did it take, 45 minutes the first morning?
Yeah, it was about the time the weather was starting to go bad. And it's like, oh, my God, this is a 500-mile drive. And we're 70 miles down the road. This is going to be a long day.
Yeah, it cleared up fairly fast,
though. Well, it did. You recovered quite nicely once you got into the front seat and a little more open air. So, all's well that ends well on that front. And I guess as far as the fishing goes, it was a sort of a mission of exploration, I think, on a lot of fronts, because there was really nobody there that was a veteran of fishing that lake. And from what I could tell, maybe it was just the timing, but the lake trout weren't going. So, You and I and Canuck, we shifted gears and got a tip on a spot where some pike were biting. And in retrospect, I think it was a pretty good move.
Well, absolutely. We rolled into the spot, and fortunately there was some nice, friendly Canadians that let us drill some holes pretty much right next to them and set up camp. And they were great guys to fish next to. And it wasn't but half hour we had a nice fish on.
The number of, the area we were fishing was it was kind of a narrows that separated, deeper water, from a shallow back bay, which I imagine it's a spot where the pike are probably spawning, and it's sort of a staging area this time of year. So that was kind of the backdrop of where we were fishing. And the number of big fish, as far as pike fishing goes, I've never seen anything like it. We had pretty good action, had a little bit of a lull the second day, but we made up for it. Everyone had fish that were at least 42 inches. You had a 44-incher. How do you top that? I mean, those are personal record fish, and, that time of year, they're as heavy and as thick as they're going to be.
Well, we had PB day, personal best, that is. I mean, you got one. And I actually got two just based on the succession that I caught them in, a 39 followed by the 44. So that was kind of fun. And, you know, I've been telling people ever since the trip that I'll probably spend the rest of my life trying to top that one northern in the States, that is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, as far as that trip was, I guess what struck me as the trip got closer and I started doing some more research, you know, everything I was reading about Reed Lake was probably more related to northern pike than it was to lake trout. Has some big lake trout in it, no doubt, but, you know, northern pike seems to be its claim to fame. And from what I saw when I was up there, it's a very justified claim.
Well, the big old pike on the sign should have given us the clue when we pulled in.
Yep, there were no pictures of lake trout there. So, you know, there was a dedicated core of our group that was up there. And I think all told, there was probably, you know, 10, 12, you know, from as far away as Thompson, Manitoba and you know, Winnipeg area, Selkirk. It was a great bunch of guys. And, you know, the crew that toughed it out on the lake trout, I think they ended up with, what, maybe seven fish?
Something like that.
You know, over the course of 2.5, 3 days. That's a tough bite. That's dedication. But, you know, being in the situation I was in, I needed some results. I needed some pictures. I needed some things to be happening. And it was happening with the pike. And, you know, I guess the lesson to be learned in all of this is, you know, no matter where you go, you know, don't necessarily stick to that game plan. You know, if the opportunity comes to divert a little bit and you want to catch some fish, don't be afraid to do it.
And one last note on that trip. We found out what ice fishing gear can really take being pulled behind a snowmobile. We literally full throttled with portable shacks coming totally off the ice. And Vexilar survived. The houses survived. Little bit of damage in one of them, but nothing to really worry anybody for the amount of abuse we put them through on that trip. They survived.
This was a trip where nothing came easy from the time we stepped in the vehicle until we got home at night. And the situation we ran into on the lake was up in northern Manitoba, they'd had a lot of snow this winter. And as any of you who do much ice fishing will know, heavy snow, put it on ice, it weighs down on the ice. Forces water up through cracks, and you have this nice little treat called slush that lurks under the snow. And we had slush everywhere we went. And like Brad was saying, it was a, you know, shut your eyes, punch the throttle, don't stop. We never got stuck with the snowmobiles. There was a couple of times we were barely moving, but it just added to the sense of adventure. You know, it was kind of one of those all's well, ends well deals. You know, especially in the morning, the going wasn't so bad. It was kind of rough. There was a good crust on top, which made it hard, and, you know, the equipment took a beating, but at least you knew you weren't going to get stuck.
So, a successful trip to Reed Lake, and hopefully in a few years we can go back up, only this time we're going to chase pikies first and trout second, I believe.
Absolutely, and, you know, like I say, I'd like to see that country in the summertime. You know, if any of you are looking for a road trip, just a real adventure, there's great tar roads all the way to the Reed Lake campground, and, you know, again, if you look on a map, this is about 525 miles or so northwest of Winnipeg. It's a long haul, but, you know, some neat country and great fishing once you get there.
So that being said, we were gone for a week. I believe we worked for about a week, and then it was up north for the next trip, which was Sturgeon Excursion 3, which is always a fine week on this show. I mean, we were actually on Why Fish for Sturgeon Excursion 1, so that's kind of been a tradition of the show now.
That's true, it was. And again, that, there was a situation where the trip got closer. It got about 5 days out. We started looking at the extended weather forecasts, and they did not look favorable at all. I mean, it was just a very steady deterioration in the weather, you know, to the point where, you know, they were talking thunderstorms and heavy rain and things like that in the time frame we were supposed to be out there. And the idea of sitting in a boat under that kind of weather just didn't really, you know, appeal to me all that much. But rather than pull the plug on the trip, I know we talked about it quite a bit and decided we have the luxury here. We can wait till the absolute last minute. And if things look like they're going to turn around a little bit, we can go. And luckily they did turn around.
Well, and the other thing was we didn't even know if the ice was going to come off where we wanted to fish until the day before.
Well, and that was the other thing. I mean, the ice did not come off until the day before, but you look back on that trip now, I think the stars aligned just right because, you know, we got out there that first morning, got the boat in the water. We were operating in thick, heavy fog.
That's the picture I'm going to post. Instead of us holding a fish, I think I'm going to put that put that picture of that fog.
Oh, it was
up.
Just, it was eerie out there. It was creepy. I felt like I was way up in the air, kind of looking down. It was, you know, it was just a very odd sensation because the fog was that thick. But it seemed like, you know, once the fog burned off a little bit and we got into the morning, that bite kicked in and we had a pretty good couple days there.
Yeah, I believe the boat ended up in not quite two whole days, although we did fish hard. 54 sturgeons landed.
In terms of numbers, it's the best trip that we've ever had and the best trip that I've ever had up there. You know, biggest fish, I guess, was about 55 inches, so no real monsters, but a lot of fish that were in that, you know, 40 to 50-inch range. You know, I had sore arms when I got back, and I would be lying to say otherwise.
In looking at the other boats, we must have had the secret bait because our average fish size was way better than most of the other boats.
I think so, and you know, there's definitely, you know, there's some little nuances there, some things we were doing. I don't know if I want to divulge too many secrets here, but, you know, night crawlers are a staple, but we dressed them up a little bit, and, you know, I think we moved a little bit more often, too. I mean, not very long distance moves, but just little subtle things like that.
Well, I think our bait secret proved when we had gave the tip to the other boat that was up the day after us and said, give this a try and see what happens. And they said their catch rate went up and their average size went up when they went to our baiting techniques. Obviously, we were on the right path with that one.
Yep, something going on there. And again, I think, you know, the weather forecast was wrong, but, you know, luckily it was wrong in a good way for a change because we didn't have anything like what they had predicted. We had pretty nice weather. We had a little bit of a, you know, a north wind issue blowing us back against the current, which, you know, made for a little bit of a hassle at times. But, you know, compared to what they'd been calling for, it was not an issue at all. And, of course, then the next weekend, it seemed like catch rates were way, way down from what we'd experienced. So,
and they had nicer weather to deal with even than from us.
Yeah, but they had a lot of wind.
Yeah, they did have wind.
And they also had a lot more boats. And, you know, I think there's something to trying to get up there at a time when you don't have so many crowds. I think, you know, maybe all that boat traffic, maybe it affects those fish a little bit. Who knows? But it does seem like we've always tried to time that trip a little bit earlier, and we've done better, I think, overall than, you know, people we know that have fished a little later.
So maybe I got my dates messed up, but was the sturgeon excursion before or after our reliving the floods episode?
Boy, now you're, that's a little bit of a puzzler there. I think it was right after because we commemorated the 10-year anniversary of the Grand Forks flood of 1997, April 19th, as I recall, by launching a boat in the Red River and actually doing a little bit of fishing that night. The river level was such we could do that. And, you know, compared to the ordeal we had gone through 10 years earlier, to be able to launch a boat and fish was kind of nice. But I think that was like 2 or 3 days before the sturgeon excursion,
yep,
was it not?
I believe it was like the Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday.
Yep.
And we left on Sunday.
Yep, because I want to say it was like the 21st, 22nd, something like
the
that.
The point is that 10 years earlier on that exact day, the downtown was on fire and the water was 25 feet higher than it was on this particular day. So we couldn't think of a better reason than to grab a fishing rod and a couple of cold beverages and launch a boat just to say it was done.
Oh, it was a great thing to do. And, you know, I would have to say that I haven't done a lot of catfishing so far this year, but the times I have been out, there have been some pretty memorable outings.
I've actually been doing a fair amount of catfishing this year, and I have to say the bite is different than it's been the past 2 years. I would say that, you know, not to switch gears too horribly fast, but the bite, I would say fish over 10 pounds, we're catching more of them. Fish over 20 pounds, we're catching less of them than the last 2 years.
But, and I would say that would be a little more what one would normally expect on our stretch of river. You know, it's almost like things are normalizing a little bit again.
Things are normalizing, yet going back before the previous 2 years, of course, we lost one of them to a flood. And the year before, we were on nice fish. But I don't recall those years seeing the numbers of fish over 10 pounds. I mean, the average size is normalizing out. But I still remember catching more small fish than we are this year. So good things to come. And I know Kent Hollins over at Trophy Cat has been really putting up some nice catches with his clients so far this year.
Well, I know he sent me an email earlier this past week just basically saying, oh, you got to get out here if you get a chance now because it's, you know, the the numbers he put up, like you were saying last weekend, and the size of fish was phenomenal. And it was under some pretty adverse weather conditions, so I was a little bit surprised.
Well, they were fighting wind, and I mean, one morning it was 39 degrees when I woke up. I mean, that's some tough conditions, all things considered, to be dealing with those rapid temperature changes. And you know, we had a major temperature change here a couple days ago, and that's obviously playing effect now. But you know, every fish in the tri-state region is probably feeling that one.
Well, I tell you what, it's Memorial Day weekend right now, and all you have to do is look outside the window to tell it. You know, there's raindrops coming down. That sky's looking pretty dark. We actually had looked at doing some fishing this evening and wimped out and decided to cook up a venison stir fry instead. Of course, about the time we pulled the plug, the rain quit, but I don't know. I'm not really second-guessing myself too badly on that
one. Yeah, we hung up the phone just in time for the rain to stop, but tomorrow it's going to be rain or shine.
I'm out there tomorrow, yeah. It'll be an adventure.
We might not be in the river of choice based on the wind, but we're going to be out there tomorrow.
We'll be out there for sure, and I think a few others will too. And I guess it comes back to this thing that if you're going to sit and wait for the ideal weather scenario, you're not going to be fishing much. You have to learn to adjust to it a little bit, roll with it, and you know, that comes not only to weather, but, you know, you look at our Reed Lake trip, it was the same kind of deal. We shifted gears, and you got to do that sometimes. And if you do, I think you'll, in the end, be richly rewarded for the effort.
Well, the other thing tonight is we, for all practical purposes, would have had 3 hours of water time. And normally I would take 3 hours of water time, but I got 3 days ahead of me. You got 2 days ahead of you yet this weekend where you can see water. So is losing 3 hours to a little inclement weather in town really a big deal?
No, I don't think it's a crisis. And plus, it was a chance to kind of hop back on this horse again and see if we can still do it. And from what I can tell, I think we can.
Yeah, we're seasoned veterans. It's not a problem. So.
No, it's a little bit like riding a bike.
Well, folks, you know what we're up to this week. You know what we've been up to for the last month or so. We hope to be back on a more regular basis now, but you know, the way we've been sticking to it, you just never know if we miss a week here and there.
I can tell you one thing, looking at the calendar, this summer is going to go by fast.
It's gone. I mean, what happened to May? I don't even remember the month and it's a week left of it.
Exactly. I mean, there was a Minnesota Fishing Opener in there. I got a little time in for that. Visited my one of my favorite little pike holes, caught some northerns. Didn't catch any walleyes opening weekend. Made up for it this past Monday. Had a chance to get out with a guy on Upper Red Lake. Johnny Petrowski has a little guide service over there called Outdoors with Johnny P. Check him out if you get a chance. But we got into the walleyes, and I tell you what, you know, that lake has been known as a walleye fishery, and it's back with a vengeance. We really had fun out there.
It sounds like that lake is just phenomenal. With that, if you want to experience some of this awesome catfishing we have up here, don't forget to give Kent a call at 701-741-0724, or look him up on the web, trophycatadventures.com. Well, I think we'll be back early next week, don't you?
I think we probably will. So for now, let's see if I can still get this right.
I got it right last week, so you have to do it right
now. Okay, we'll see how this goes. For now, this wraps up this week's edition of Why Fish Radio. Until next time, keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
Good job.
Not bad. Talk to you later.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to whyfishradio.com.